Boker Tov. Good morning. I would say that many of you around this table know and remember and maybe even had a connection to one of the distinguished gems of our community, and that is a man by the name of Rabbi Yeshua Heschel Eichenstein. Rabbi Eichenstein from Divan, The Zidich of a Rebbe. You ever meet him?
Many times.
He is. He's a Rebbe?
Yeah, I had him for second year.
There you go.
He was young and teaching then.
he's a special person. Hashem should give him shalom. So one of the great gifts that I've received since coming to Chicago is the opportunity to meet some very exceptional people, and he's one of them. So I used to go to Rabbi Eichenstein from time to time just to connect with him and talk to him, and he was always so gracious. So one time I was visiting with Rabbi Eichenstein, and he said, "I have a question for you. I've asked this question to different people, and no one's giving me a good answer." It was like a riddle. And for those of you who remember him and his voice with it, I don't want to say it was nasal, but it was a very particular intonation, right? So he says to me, with a real Chicago accent combined, he says, "I don't understand. We read in the davening on Rosh Hashanah something very peculiar. And that's what you have here in source number one. We say in Musaf, in the context of remembering, V'gam es Noach be'ahava zacharta. And also Noach, with love, you remembered. V'atifkedeu b'dvar Yeshua v'rachamim v'chulei v'chulei," because we have the pasuk V'yizkor Elokim, God remembered Noach. So Rabbi Eichenstein says to me, he says, "I don't understand this phrase in the davening. Where do we find that God remembered Noach with ahava, with love?" That was the question. No?
Just saving him his life.
When he,
that's not love.
Okay.
When he told him to build the ark and that he was going to get rid of everybody else and everything else.
Okay.
Except Noah and his family.
So that was an act of love.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. Okay. But there's got to be something more. Because when we think about concepts on spiritual levels, especially when you find references to them in the liturgy, in the words of our sages, in the words of the davening, there's also a deeper meaning. So that sent me on a mission to try to figure out why it is that Noach is associated with ahava, with love. And I came up with a suggestion, and the next time I saw him, I offered it to him, and he thought it was worth considering, you could say. So we're going to discuss that for a few minutes today, and I'd like you to decide also if you think it's worth considering. Those are my words, not his. So let's start with a comment of the Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel is Rav Shmuel Borenstein, the Sochet Shavu Rebbe. His father was the Avnei Nezer. So this is a very, very distinguished, great Hasidic master with great Hasidic lineage. So the Shem Yishmuel, right at the beginning, in Tav Reish Ayin Aleph, quotes a teaching. Hine Bezorah Kodesh. We have in the Zohar, De Noach Hu Shabbos. Noach is Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that Noach is Shabbos?
Well, if Hashem gave us Shabbat, he gave it to if he gave us that with love.
Okay. Well, before love, we haven't gotten to love. I want to talk about something else now. I want to talk about Noach. Forget love for a second. We'll come back to it. But what does it mean when we say, this is just an important introductory note, what does it mean when we say that he says that Noach hu Shabbos? Noach is Sabbath.
Does it mean he's special?
Maybe. But what it probably means is that in the world of Hasidus and the inner spiritual tradition, concepts have multiple manifestations. Meaning, you can have the same theme, and that theme can be expressed in different ways. Particularly, three different dimensions of life can express the same principle. And we call that Olam Shana Nefesh. The world, the year, and the soul, the person. Meaning, there are concepts which can express themselves. This is laid out very clearly in the Sfas Emes and other Chassidish Sfarim. Things can express themselves in the Olam. What does that mean? It means in geographic, temporal ways. One of the special things that we're doing this year, Sunday morning, is we're studying the cities of Israel. Why are we studying the cities of Israel? Because the makom, that place, expresses an idea. Every makom has an identity. So the identity of a particular idea could be expressed in that place. Shana means in the realm of time. You can have that same idea, which is expressed in a certain place, also expressed in the realm of time, the time of the year. So Pesach, if you were to ask anybody on the street, what theme, what spiritual value is being represented by Pesach?
Freedom.
Yeah, great, freedom. You know, Sukkot, the same, all around. So there is a concept that appears, it's manifest, it expresses itself through geography. There is a concept, the same concept, that then expresses itself in time, and then it expresses itself in a person. Here's a good example of the first two, and then the third is the tzaddik. Shabbos is in the realm of time. Yerushalayim is in the realm of place. Did you ever notice that the Lechadodi poem is actually two different themes woven into the same poem? It's Shabbos and Yerushalayim. Why are we talking about Yerushalayim on Shabbos? What's the answer? Because it's the same spiritual root, just one is expressed in Makom and the other one is expressed in Zman, place and time. And the Tzaddik, the holy person, that is the same expression in a person. Beseder? Good? So now, we can understand what the Zohar HaKadosh on our level is teaching us, is that Noach was a person who expressed the same identity from a spiritual level as Shabbos. And now the Zohar HaKadosh goes to point out that that's in his name. Why? Shabbos is Lashon Naicha. Vayonach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested. He was Nach. So Noach and Nach is the same word. But it's not just a play on words. What we're saying is that there is a spiritual core of this concept of Shabbos and Noach, Vayonach. It's the same.
What does Vayonach mean
again? And he rested. Right, we say in the Kiddush.
Yeah. You gave us a shiur a couple of years ago about the difference between Noach, Yanoach, and Shabbos.
Oh, you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Amazing. Ooh, wow. Okay. That's awesome. We did talk about that. That there's because we use two verbs. Oh, this is very high level. Mark is pointing out, Shabbos has multiple dimensions, right? It has the dimension of Vayonach, and then it has also the dimension of Vayishbos, which both are referred to in the Kiddush. Ah, wow. Okay. Shkoyach. So now I want to understand, what is this? What is this spiritual core which is shared between Noach and Shabbos that is expressed through his name, Vayonach Noach? Seder? Okay. So our first question is, why is Noach associated with Ahava? The second question is, why is Noach associated, according to the Zohar HaKodesh, with Shabbos? So now let's turn our attention to a third concept and then put it all together. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that is probably known to some of you, which is in source number 3. Kol Ava shehi taluya bedavar, batel davar, betela ahava. Any ahava, and we would use this kind of ahava, quotation marks, ahava. Any ahava, which is tuluya bedavar, what does it mean?
Depends on something.
If it's just for special reading.
That's right. It's contingent on something.
It's not good. I mean,
it's batel davar, that contingency goes away. So then batel ahava, betela ahava, then the love is gone. Vishaina tuluya bedavar, but if it is a love which is not dependent on anything, eina betela la'olam, it's never batel. What was the example the Mishnah gives at Pirkei Avos? What was the example, the prototypical ava tuluya bedavar?
Well, the one that wasn't good was Tamar.
That's right. That's right.
I'm sorry. And the good one was Yohanan and David.
Yeah, they just loved each other. They were just so close. And what was the first one? Amnon and Tamar. Why was Amnon obsessed with Tamar? Because it was lust. Because he wanted the desire. He wanted that pleasure to be fulfilled. It had nothing to do with her. And so what does the pasuk say? After he got what he wanted, he threw away and he hated her. Right? Are they really? Oh, there you go. Okay.
Different Tamar.
Oh, no, that's a different. That's a different Tamar. That was Amnon. Amnon, the king's son. David HaMelech's son. Amnon.
Right, okay.
Yeah, different Tamar. You know, if a person is in a relationship with someone else, and the basis of that relationship is that the other person has a lot of money. That's why they're interested in being with him. And then all of a sudden that person loses their fortune. So then goodbye. But if you love someone, not because of how they look, because even though they look this way today, they might not look that way tomorrow, or not because of the money that they have, just because of who they are. You just love that person. So that's Ava She'ina Tuliya Bedavar. I heard a phenomenal, phenomenal mashal for this in a spiritual way from Rav Moshe Weinberger Shalita. He says, you can love children for two reasons. I never thought about it this way. It was very powerful thinking about it as a parent. He says, you can love children for two reasons. You could love children because your child is a yeled tov. And that's a good reason to love a child. Haben sheli hu yeled tov. Habat sheli yalda tova. And that makes you happy and that makes you love that child. But he says, but wait a second. When that child was 4 days old, you remember that child when the child was 4 days old? Was that child a yeled tov? Bechlal not. The child was a basket of misery. The child kept you up all day and all night. All he wanted was to be selfishly cared for. You should give him food, and you should change him and hold on to him. He did absolutely nothing to be a yeled tov. He didn't do anything from anything, right? He just sat there like a little, you know, for some of us in this room who have grandchildren, you also see the same thing, right? You walk into this room, and you feel like a connection to this little child. They didn't do anything for you. They didn't call your name. They didn't go play ball with you. They didn't go to an outing with you. So why do you love this child? Why do you love this grandchild? Not because the child is Yeled Tov. It's because this child is your child. It's your child. You love your child. That's the way the Rebbeinu Shlomo made the world. Right? You love your grandchild. Some people, they live a great distance from the grandchildren, and they don't see them very often. Whether the child is, you know, is bringing you a cup of coffee or calling you in the morning, but you love that grandchild, right? So Weinberger pointed out, he says, the distinction is important because if you only love a child for the first reason, because the child is a Yeled Tov, well, what happens then the days that the child is not a Yeled Tov? Pasuk tells us, Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaaseh tov v'lo yechta. Now, this is going to highlight the age gap at this table, but we are praying to God and holding on for dear life how to parent an adolescent in the year 2019.
Good luck.
Thank you. We need your prayers and condolences for that adventure, which is very challenging. But kids do dumb things. And by the way, not only kids in 2019 do dumb things. Kids in the 60s also did dumb things, and they did them in Europe also.
It was a lot of fun, though.
So if we as parents, or if our parents only loved us when we were a Yeled Tov, what happened on the days when we were not a Yeled Tov? Very important question. So now we could start to put it together. Because our Father in Heaven, right, Malchusa de Ara, Kein Malchusa de Rikia, our Father in Heaven is that model. The Rebbeinu Shlomo loves us. And obviously on some level, He loves us because we are a Yeled Tov. Because we do mitzvahs, and we connect to Him, and we want to be with Him, and we spend time with Him. But because He's a true parent, He doesn't just love us because we are a Yeled Tov. He loves us because we are His children. The Ava that Hashem does for us is not an Ava Hatluya B'davar. Do you notice that it's interesting that the Rebbeinu Shlomo says to Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, he says, go on a journey, I'm choosing you, but he doesn't say why. Do we know anything about Avraham's upbringing in the Torah, in the Chumash?
No.
Do we know where and when he met Sarah? I don't know. Rav Shechter Shlita, my rabbi, likes to say, who knows? Maybe they met at a New Year's party. We don't know anything about them. So I ask you, why did the Rebbeinu Shlomo choose Avram Avinu? Or better yet, when he chose him, why didn't he tell us why he chose him? Well, the pasuk says, Laman, because we know, Asher yitzav es banav ves beso achrav v'shamru derech Hashem. I know he's going to follow in the way and teach his children to follow in that same way. But why didn't he tell us what came before? What was it that made him choose him in the first place? The answer is, perhaps, it's by design not told to us. Because if it was told to us why Avram was chosen, then what would happen? If for some reason I, today, thousands of years later, would feel like I don't connect to that, then I might feel I'm not chosen. But the answer is Avram Avinu was chosen, and Yitzchak and Yaakov, because they are considered, and the Jewish people, we are considered Banam Lamakom, we're the Rebbeinu Shlomo's children. Why does a parent love a child? I don't know. That's an innate expression of humanity. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo tells us, I'm choosing you because I love you. Lo me'rubchem, the pasuk says, not because you're so many, and not because you're going to win so many Nobel Prizes, and not because you're going to bring karbonos to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm choosing you because. What does the Torah say? B'ni b'chori Yisrael. That's it. B'ni b'chori Yisrael. Where does this idea that Hashem loves us unconditionally, that He has an Ava that's Eina Tuliya B'davar, where is that expressed in a certain way? In the concept of Shana, of Zman? It's expressed in Shabbos. Do we do anything to give us the gift, to bring down, to create the gift of Shabbos for us? Oh, so we follow the rules, but that's after it's Shabbos. Kiddush. So Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, has a Yahrzeit shiur where he develops this idea that Shabbos is enhanced, the Kedusha Shabbos is enhanced by the recitation of Kiddush.
Shabbos is a what?
Enhanced by the recitation of Kiddush, the Kedusha of Shabbos. But that's a big Kiddush. The Pashtus is, the simple understanding, is that the Gemara tells us here in source number 4, Amar Abaye, Abaye tells us, Shabbos is what we call, this is a key expression, Kviya V'kayma. It is Kavua, meaning it is set, V'kayam, and it is established. It doesn't move, and it doesn't matter what happens. As opposed to Yom Kippurim or other holidays, the Gemara says, Beidina, the Beis Din, the rabbinic court, the rabbis, Kakavila, they said it. How do we know what day is Yom Kippur?
Depending on Rosh Chodesh.
That's right. Who decides when it's Rosh Chodesh? The Beis Din. So there are different applications and ramifications of this principle. But for today's purpose, think about the distinction now. Yontif, Yom Kippur, Regalim, Rosh Chodesh, all those holidays, those are Zmanim that we decide. We decide that today is going to be a day of sanctity, so it's a day of sanctity. Good, based on the Ribbono Shel Olam Zivuim in the Chumash. But Shabbos is not like that. Let's say theoretically, conceptually, it's not possible, but conceptually, we could, so to speak, do away with Yom Kippur. Certainly on one particular day, we could say, no, it's not Yom Kippur today. It's up to us. Can we do that for Shabbos? It's impossible. It's Kviya V'kayma. Shabbos tonight, Habolin Latova, whatever time lich benching is, I don't know. When the sun goes down, it's Kviya V'kayma. It's Shabbos whether you have 1 foot out of the shower or both feet out of the shower. Whether you finish shaving or you didn't finish shaving. When the food is ready or it's not ready, it lo mashaneh. Shabbos is Shabbos. What does that symbolize? It symbolizes Hashem Yisbarach committing to be with us irrespective of our level of whether we are prepared or not prepared, whether we're worthy or we're not worthy. Shabbos is Kviya V'kayma. It's all set. Right? What happens to Noah? Noah comes into a world where God created the world. He gave us this great gift. And what did we do?
Messed it up.
Right. So what did he do when we messed up the world? He said,
reset.
That's it, reset. So to speak, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, I love humanity. I'm going to sustain humanity. Why? Ki ata yeled tov. Because you're good. But at the moment that it became evident that Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Min Urav, that people really were not good, what did Ribbono Shel Olam say? Ki ilu, so to speak, ani lo ohev otcha. I don't love you anymore. And you're going to get thrown away. And we're going to restart the world. That was the rest of the world. But not who? Not Noach. Noach, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I saw you're a tzaddik. But then, when he comes out of the teva to restart the world with Noach, what does he say to Noach? Look at source number 5. V'akimosi es brisi itchem v'lo yikareis kol basar od mimei ha-mabul. V'lo ye'od mabul l'shacheis ha'aretz. What does Hashem Yisbarach say to Noach when he takes him out of the teva?
That's what happening is no more destruction.
No more destruction of the world. I ask you, what do you mean, no more destruction of the world? What if the people are again full of Hamas? What's going to happen?
He actually says there should never be a flood again to destroy the world.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really say doesn't really say that he will never again destroy the world. He's really specifying.
So earlier,
it's going to be by the waters.
But the truth is, earlier the pasuk already refers to it, where it says, "Yom v'layla lo yishbosu kayetz v'chor." If they're going to be regular seasons, we're never going to have this type of apocalypse again. It does specifically say in the flood, in the context of the flood, but you're right. The impression that you get from the earlier verse is that the seasons will never be disrupted again. There's going to be regular life forever. So what does he not say to Noach?
He didn't say man's always going to be good.
Right. And he also doesn't say to him, be good, because if you're not good, I'm going to push the reset button. Noach merits a new way of relating to him. Whereas previously, God related to the world as, if you earn your keep, you'll have it. And if you don't, you won't. Beseder. But now he says to Noach, no. I relate to you just because you're my children. Human beings are my children. And therefore, gamim ata lo yeled tov, even if you don't act correctly, you're also going to have it. I'll always be there. It's a new dimension. But now we can put it together. What do we say in the davening of the Shalosh Regalim in the brackets?
For Shabbos.
Yes. What word do we add in the description of davening? Ba'av. What's that?
Ba'av.
Say it again.
Ba'av.
Ba'ava. Shabbos in the davening is referred to as Ba'ava. That's why on Yontif, the normal liturgy says, Besimcha v'sason, with gladness. Yontif is gladness. It's a holiday. But when Yontif falls out on Shabbos, they tell you in the Siddur, add in the brackets, Be'ahava. Now I understand.
Because of Shabbos.
Shabbos is Ahava. Shabbos is love. Why? Because it's the true love. It's the Ahava she'ena tuluya bedavar. It's the Ahava that Hashem says, Ahavti eschem. I love you just because. What was our question at the beginning? Why is Noach referred to as Ahava? What's the answer now?
No matter what he does, he's there.
And that is an expression of Shabbos. These are all the same concept. Noach is an expression of Shabbos, Vayonach, Naicha, because Shabbos is the expression of love, which is unconditional. That's Ahava. And that's why Noach is Be'ahava Zacharta, because he was remembered with unconditional love. He was taken out of the Teva and told, I'll always be there. I'll never destroy the world again. Your children will never have to face destruction. It's very important that they be Yeladim Tovim. Of course it's good. The child must be a Yelad Tov. And there are going to be consequences. If a child is not a Yelad Tov, the parents are not Horim Tovim if they don't find a way to set boundaries and to have consequences. But that doesn't mean that the parent doesn't love the child anymore. So far, so good?
Is there a distinction between it being unconditional love, which I think is the paradigm between Hashem and the Jewish people, and just it is conditional, but there will be no consequence? If you're bad, I'm angry. I don't want you. I don't want the relationship. But I prevented myself, Kaviyoko, to not have the consequence destroying.
So that's an interesting question. The question is whether or not that love is diminished when we break that bond. So I don't know how to answer that question because it's obviously it's a secret. It's Soda Shemli Reyev, like what that means. But probably, if I had to guess, I'll pee the Svarim HaKadoshim, I'll pee Kabbalah, it's probably yes and yes. Meaning, on one level, no matter how quote-unquote angry, and the Torah uses that expression of charon af, your Ribbono Shel Olam may ever be with us, it doesn't take away the inner love. Right? The Gemara says in Chagiga that the Ribbono Shel Olam has an inner chamber and an outer chamber. right? It might look like the Rambam talks about parenting. The Rambam says, well, the best thing is to do is fake being angry, present itself as if you were angry to the child, but inside, don't get angry. It's bad midos to get angry. So it seems that the way that we can understand is that the Ribbono Shel Olam, because his Ein Sof, he could be Bavasachas. He could have unconditional love Bavasachas, and that is not diminished in any way by the fact that concomitantly, he's also angry, so to speak, whatever that means for us. So now, I just want to make the following additional suggestion. So this is what I told Reichenstein, that maybe it says Be'ahava because Noach is a Bechina of Shabbos, and Shabbos is Ahava. What do you think? Does it work? So I didn't give him the whole Shtickle Torah. I just thought, well, Noach is associated with Shabbos, and Shabbos is associated with Bahava. When you think about it, you have all this depth. But now, together, I want to say one bonus note, and you'll tell me if you think this also is a good reference to make the same point on another level. Okay? Don't leave yet. Look at the next few psukim, and I want to identify a pattern. Vayomer Elokim, Zos Os Habris. And can you, for those of you who are following along with your pens, underline the following words. Bris, we had in the first phrase, Vakimosi as Brisi. So just we're keeping score here. Zos os habris. Okay. Underline os also. Asher ani nosein beini uveinechem. That phrase, circle, beini uveinechem. That's an interesting phrase, which we're going to come back to. You have the translation in front of you. Ubein kol nefesh chaya asher itchem l'doro solam. What Hashem is going to give us? What is He going to give us? Es kashti. What is a keshet?
The rainbow.
That's right, the rainbow. Nasati ba'anon v'hayisa l'os. Underline. Bris. So what is an os?
Where's os?
I'm on the third line here in Paraktes. Os. And bris, what's bris?
Oh.
Covenant. Beini ubein haaretz. Beini ubein haaretz. Let's circle that one. And what happens? So the Torah tells us when it will be, you'll see the anan. Next line, vizacharti es brisi. The bris appears again. By the way, vizacharti zikaron again in the context of Noach. Asher beini ubein echem. And there will not be any more floods. And you will always remember that there was this bris, this covenant, and that's what is concluded here. Zos os habris asher ani asher hakimosi beini uvein kol basar asher al haaretz. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Noach, this is the os bris. Os bris, last line. So in this context, we have over and over again, we have os and bris. Good? Let's turn the page. Beginning of Parashas Kisisa, Shmos Perek Lamed Aleph. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Leimor Ve'ata Dabril Bnei Yisrael Leimor Aches Shab Sosai Tishmoru. Wait a minute, Ach Es Shab Sosai Tishmoru. Ach Es Shab Sosai Tishmoru. What is the context here? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us? Well, the topic is Shabbos. No, just in general. What's the topic?
Observe Shabbos.
Right. Keep going. Why do we observe Shabbos? Ah, it's an os. Interesting. Shabbos is an os. And what's the expression? Beini ubeinechem. Have we seen this language before?
Yeah.
Same language. Next line. After you go, Ushmartem es Shabbos ki os, Ushmartem es Shabbos ki kodeshi, don't do any work. go down two lines. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael esha Shabbos, last Shabbos Torah Simchas Olam. We say this every Friday night. Last line on the page. Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael. It's between us. That's exactly parallel to what we said on the first side, that it was beini uveinechem. There is a human covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and then there is the personal covenant. What is it? Beini uveinechem, os hi leolam. Shabbos is a covenant, and it is an os. Do you think? I don't know. I'm just going to put it out there. Do you think it's an accident that Shabbos is an os, and the rainbow, the story of Noach is an os? Is that just an accident? Is this the idea of covenant and the same language is being
something forever?
That's right. It's unbroken. And the difference is that these operate on two levels. The first kind of unconditional love is for all of humanity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love you all. Every human being is created B'Tzelem Elokim. And therefore, every human being has an element of unconditional love of God. That comes from being a Ben Noach, just from being a child of Noach. But the Jewish people, we have a special quality. We have what's called B'ni B'chori Yisrael. We are the firstborn. We have this unique relationship. And that has its own special and distinct oaths and bris and covenant, beini ubeinichem. But it's the same idea. Just as in the aftermath of the flood, God told all of humanity, I care about you all unconditionally, so too he tells us distinctly as Jewish people that I care about you unconditionally. They both have the idea of remembering. On Shabbos, we remember Zechiras Mitzias Mitzrayim, Maaseh Bereishis. That's one component of it. There's an element of covenant, and there's the element of the oath.
Even the goyim, in the beginning?
Yes, that's what they were promised. They were promised that he won't destroy them. So it turns out when we said the words, V'gam es Noach ba'ahava zacharta, you also remembered Noach with ahava, it means it's foreshadowing to the concept of Shabbos. Now, the actual Shabbos, non-Jews are not allowed to observe because this source number six kind of covenant is just us. But the general idea that there is unconditional love of God, the concept of Shabbos, is also for Noach. So I don't know. You tell me, is this parallel real? It seems pretty solid. And so the takeaway is we need to remember, both as human beings, and of course, especially as Jews, that we have this unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to be responsible for ourselves, and we have to aspire to a high level of sanctity, of tremendous kedusha and closeness to God. But when we fall down, which inevitably happens, we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't worry that the Ribbono Shel Olam will forsake us. Not on a human level, because that's what he taught Noach, and certainly not on a Jewish level, because that's what he teaches us every week through Shabbos, which is Kaviyah V'Kaima. It comes whether we're ready or not, and whether we're worthy or not.